What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Hope you had a nice Oscar weekend. So many memes and video clips and commentary is coming out from the Oscars. We are going to get into it. We're going to get into a lot of pop culture, Scandoval, the Hugh Grant, Ashley Graham interview, You season 4, Chris Rock's comedy special. I want to talk about it all because I definitely have some opinions. Some of which may be controversial or totally opposite of what you think. And you know what? That's okay. We're allowed to disagree. We're allowed to have opposing viewpoints and be able to talk about them in a regular human way. But first, I want to say thank you for your kind messages and responses to my previous episode where I talked about having depression and how it's limited my ability to release episodes and stick to a consistent schedule. Perhaps you can tell just in the tone of my voice that I'm feeling better. I actually read a study. I forget where it's from, so I don't know how credible it is, but just bear with me. I read a study that depressed people, or when you're having a depressive episode, your voice actually sounds 3 to 5 octaves lower. Like your voice sounds deeper and heavier and you talk at a slower pace. I don't know if that is noticeable between this episode and the last one, but thank you just for being so nice. It's scary to talk about mental health for obvious reasons, but it's equally as important. And if I can help one of you feel less alone or offer some tips or advice, just like feel better about yourself, that's what we're doing here. It's a nice, friendly environment. I love the community that I've grown over the years. And thanks. Thanks so much. So let's talk about pop culture. I want to start with something that's a little bit old at this point, because in the world of Hollywood and breaking news, like if you don't talk about something the day of, it's technically considered old. But we're going to talk about Scandoval one more time. I'm sure you've heard everything there is to hear about Tom cheating on Ariana, his girlfriend of 9 or 10 years, with one of her closest friends, Raquel. And I asked my husband, because let's face it, us women love to speculate about why men cheat, or why men sleep with us and then don't call us again, or why men are so bad at texting, or why men ghost us. Like, women love, or at least I love. I don't want to generalize based on gender, but I'll just talk about myself. I love getting together with my girlfriends over cocktails or brunch or coffee, sitting down and talking about Tinder or dating or sex, just, and I love speculation. I love the guessing game of why men act like such fucking idiots sometimes. But you know who understands men? Other men. You know what I mean? It would be like if men got together and speculated about how women behave. And it's like, you don't know shit. Like, we don't know shit about men's brains or men's behavior. And it's probably because we spend so much time talking to our other girlfriends instead of talking to men. So I asked my husband, why do men cheat? Like, what do you think is the number one reason men will leave behind a gorgeous fucking woman, a successful woman, an independent, strong, like, killer personality, killer looks? Like, what is Ariana lacking that Raquel has? Like, why would he leave his life, his home, do they share a pet? I think they have a dog together, maybe a cat. Like, what the fuck is going on with Tom Sandoval? A little bit, I think, is a midlife crisis. Like, let's be honest. Tom Sandoval is 40. Is he, or is he like 39? Let me just Google. Tom Sandoval is 39. Okay. So to put it into perspective, my husband is 41. So I think just like two men being roughly the same age, there's a little bit of more deeper understanding there. So why is a 39-year-old man wearing nail polish and makeup and dancing on stage with a band that seemingly sprung out of nowhere. Like, where the fuck did this band, Tom Sandoval and the Extras, come from? Like, aren't you a restaurant owner? Aren't you a business owner? Don't you have, like, all these previous commitments to Lisa Vanderpump and Tom Schwartz and Greg, your business owner? Like, don't you have Tom Tom and Schwartz and Sandy's? Like, where the fuck's this band come from? And Tom Schwartz even admitted, like, Sandoval went off the deep end and totally neglected his previous responsibilities to have this band. Anyway, it's partially a midlife crisis, in my opinion. But my husband said that the number one reason that men cheat is to stroke their ego. It's that animalistic, barbarian mentality that men have to conquer other women. And it's not enough to just conquer one woman, aka your wife or your girlfriend or your long-term partner. It's the knowledge that I can conquer any woman I see. I can walk into a bar and nail her. I can walk to the gym and bang her. I can sleep with her. I can flirt with her, yada, yada, yada. So maybe, again, I am speculating that Sandoval cheated on Ariana because he was getting a little bit too comfortable. Maybe his ego wasn't getting stroked. Maybe his dick wasn't getting stroked. And he needed to outsource, and he went to the next best thing or the next easiest option, which was Raquel. So now I'm going to break down, like, some questions that people have been having and that I've been wondering myself. So number one is, did Sheena punch or slap Raquel when the news broke? And Raquel released some images that I saw on TMZ where she has, like, a little bit of a bruised upper nose and a scratch on her eyebrow. Some people say, like, her cat or her dog scratched her, or she scratched herself with her long nails. According to Sheena's lawyers, Sheena did not punch or hit or in any way physically violate Raquel. And they actually released, like, a pretty nasty public statement. It's not often that lawyers come across as, like, catty and bitchy, but Sheena's definitely did. They were like, you're gonna believe a well-known liar such as Raquel, who's been lying to all her friends for I don't know how many months, going behind their backs and sleeping with Sandoval? You're gonna believe that? You're gonna believe that woman's voice at this time? Sheena did not lay hands on Raquel whatsoever. And people are saying, you know, violence is never the answer. Whether she punched her or slapped her or backhanded her or shoved her, like, in any way, like, you don't touch people, you don't put your hands on people. Here's what I'm gonna say, okay? And jaws may drop, people, but that's why I'm here. I think that sometimes people need a good fucking slap in the face. I'm sorry. I am not saying that violence is the answer. It's not the answer. It's not going to solve anything. It's not going to make anything better. It's not going to move progress along. But you know what? Sometimes I don't want to give people the answer. I want to give them a motherfucking punishment. Sometimes you just want to punish people. And sometimes people deserve a motherfucking slap in the face. I'm sorry, you do. If you say something or you do something so nasty or bitchy or horrible to me, I will slap you. I personally have no problem slapping someone. Have I ever slapped someone? Yes, but it's not about me. Okay, it's not about me. Sometimes people deserve a slap. You know what I mean? So if Sheena gave Raquel a good old smackaroo with an open palm or the back of her hand, you know what? Raquel deserves it. And again, I'm not saying it's the answer, but it certainly is an appropriate response. You know, you could also tie this to the Will Smith, Chris Rock incident. Did Chris Rock deserve the slap from Will Smith? Probably not. But if that crossed line with Will Smith, like, to each their own, man. Like, sometimes people need a good fucking smack to bring them back down to earth, to re-humble themselves. And if you cross the line, man, that's your fucking fault. That's not my fault that you went there or you said that or you did that. And the next question is, should Raquel be fired from the show for allegedly like lying to her friends and fucking with the storyline and deceiving producers and yada, yada, yada. Should she be fired? Because as we know, Bravo for the past few years has been very trigger happy, but like fire happy, where they've just been letting go cast members left and right from like the Real Housewives and also from Vanderpump. As we know, like Stassi left, Jax left, Brittany left. Someone else got fired. Kristen Doty probably got fired for teaming up with Stassi. Should Raquel be fired? That would be the dumbest fucking move. Like, obviously, like, I don't support, like, I don't give a fuck about Stassi as a human, okay? But as a reality star on that particular show, her moments were some of the best. Like, I feel like Stassi made Vanderpump the success that it was based on her personality or persona in the first five seasons. Like, the backhanded slap from Stassi to Kristen when she found out about Jax, gold. Stassi being an absolute bitch on her birthday, gold. Stassi, like, crying on the streets when people, you know, shit on her horror-themed birthday, gold. Gold, gold, gold. Stassi was Vanderpump gold. So was Jax, and actually so was Kristen. Like, Kristen's fight with James, and James, like, spits on her door on the way out. Gold. Fucking gold. And when they all got fired, whether they deserve to or not, I don't fucking care. Fire them if you want to. I'm not Andy Cohen. Do whatever you want to do. But I, as a loyal Vanderpump viewer who's watched this group of friends since season one, I felt that the show was taking a drastic downhill in terms of entertainment, in terms of just like comedic gold, like hysterical breaking news moment. Like, it was going downhill, and it was going downhill fast. I thought the last season was so boring, so dull. There was no drama. There was no heat. There was no anger. There was no shock. And look what we have now. We are obsessed with the Scandoval, you know, cheating scandal. We are tuned into Vanderpump more so than ever before, picking up little eggshells and picking up little hints here and there, trying to guess when the cheating started, trying to pick up like, oh, is she flirting with him? And what was the deal with Schwartz? Did they really kiss at Coachella? Was Schwartz just a so many questions, so many questions. So to fire somebody just for making the show dramatic again would be really fucking dumb on Bravo's part. And the last question people seem to have is, will Tom and Raquel start dating? If they don't, if this was just, well, it obviously wasn't just like a one-night stand, because allegedly they've been sleeping together since July, which is like almost a year. It's like 9 months ago they've been banging. So obviously it wasn't just like a one and done, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. But if they don't turn it into something more serious, Tom essentially has thrown his entire life away for pussy, which wouldn't be the first time a man has done that. I mean, how many times have we seen Hollywood husbands throwing their lives in the trash because they banged the babysitter, aka Jude Law and Sienna Miller? Like, they bang the babysitter, they bang the co-star, they bang the sexy stranger at the club. Like, we've seen it a million times. If Tom and Raquel don't start, like, dating or moving things forward, like, if they just completely drop the ball and their connection completely vanishes, like, you've thrown all your friends away, you've thrown your girlfriend away, you've thrown your home away, you've thrown your business away, because people are now boycotting Schwartz and Sandy's. The Yelp page had to be taken down because of nasty comments. One last opinion about Scandoval. I actually don't think that people should boycott Schwartz and Sandy's, because as Tom did point out in his like wishy-washy statement where he didn't apologize to Ariana, the first one, he did make a point that Schwartz and Sandy's is not just him. It's like 20 waitresses and bartenders and hostesses and, you know, other people's livelihoods depend on the income of Schwartz and Sandy's. So do I think you should boycott the whole fucking restaurant? No. Do I think you should leave a nasty comment on Yelp? No. And that's what I have to say about Scandoval. Let's move on to Hugh Grant and Ashley Graham at the Oscars. People are calling his red carpet interview with Ashley Graham very rude, and people are saying, why would you be such an asshole if you didn't want to do an interview? Just move along. Like, why would you even agree to speak with her if you just weren't feeling it? And this has become a very two-sided argument. Half the people are calling Hugh Grant a rude asshole. The other half are saying, like, we've become way too hypersensitive, and our barometer for what we consider rude is way off the charts. British people came to Hugh Grant's defense and said, we love our grouch. Grouch being the exact word. No fake smiles, no bullshit. He's British. It's his personality. It's how we like fuck with each other and poke fun at each other. Also, I read or someone commented that he's an Oxford graduate. So he's just like a slightly more intelligent man than the average Hollywood actor, where he doesn't really have time for these bullshit questions like, who are you wearing? Or who do you want to win tonight? The interview basically went like this. So the first question Ashley asked was, who are you excited to see win tonight? And he was like, wit, like who, like he, I don't know, maybe he misunderstood the question. And she was like, yeah, like you must have seen one or two movies that are nominated. Who do you want to see win? And he says, nobody in particular. Okay, not a very exciting answer, but rude? I don't think so. Her second question, who are you wearing tonight? A very generic, plain, safe, boring question that you hear again and again on the red carpet. It's Hugh Grant. This guy is not a fucking fashionista, okay? This guy is not Hollywood A-lister limelight. He's just there to attend the fucking show. Who are you wearing? He says, I don't know. My tailor gave me this suit. Again, a boring answer, but did you really expect Hugh Grant to be like, oh my God, babe, I'm wearing Versace or I'm wearing Oscar de la Renta? Like, no. What the fuck did you want him to say? I'm wearing like Men's Express, okay? And then the last question she asked was, oh my God. Oh, she brought up his role in The Glass Onion, which I saw. I was fine. I prefer Knives Out. And she was like, it must have been so fun to being on set. Can you give us a little bit of an inside scoop about your time on the movie set? And again, a very brutally honest answer. He says, I was in the film for 3 fucking seconds. He didn't say fuck. I was in the movie for 3 seconds. I was barely there. I was barely involved. I was barely on set. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, I did not have any sort of prominent role. I was there for 3 seconds. So I don't have any stories to tell you. I don't have any memories to relive with you. Like, what do you want, you know? So I think it was just a bad or awkward combination of dumb questions. Is that Ashley's fault? No, because you're on live TV. You have to be very safe. You have to be very contained and ask, you know, boring vanilla, who are you wearing? Who are you excited to see? Like, these are questions that nobody gives a fuck to the answer. Like, I don't fucking care what brand Hugh Grant's suit is. I don't fucking care what Hugh Grant, like, is rooting for. I don't fucking care. And you know what? If I don't care, lots of people don't care. So he wasn't rude. He was boring. He was maybe awkward and it was hard to watch. But if you think somebody just giving you, like, plain answers is rude, then, like, bitch, like, we gotta figure this out. You know what I mean? The problem isn't Hugh. The problem is you, you know? So that actually brings me to Chris Rock's kind of joke where he said, if you think words hurt, then clearly you've never been punched. And when I'm taking this from Chris Rock's Netflix comedy special where he was addressing the Will Smith slap. And I can't believe this, but so that Oscars happened in COVID times where none of us knew what time was or what the calendar was, or just like time was just like a warped dimension. So I can't believe that the slap was already a year ago at this point. Where the fuck did time go? I thought the slap was like 6 months ago at the most, but it was a whole ass year ago. So in his comedy special, he's alluding to the slap and people saying like Chris Rock deserved it because words hurt and you can't make fun of alopecia and you can't make jokes about somebody's appearance and you can't make nasty digs about someone's wife and words hurt, words hurt, words have impact, words matter. Yes, words hurt. That's okay. Yes, words hurt. But according to, you know, to rephrase Chris Rock, if you think words hurt, bitch, like you've never been slapped a day in your life. Because let me tell you something, that slap will humiliate you more so than any fucking joke that I could have said tonight. Because you know what? At the end of the day, again, my opinion, jokes are jokes, okay? Jokes are meant to be taken with a grain of salt. You're not meant to have this like personal deep attachment to them. But like I said, sometimes people deserve a fucking slap. Do people deserve a slap for a joke? I don't think so. And I truly believe in Chris Rock's heart when he made that comment about, and what did he even say? He made some allusion to G.I. Jane. Like, to call someone G.I. Jane because G.I. Jane has a bald head or like a shaved head, is that really that offensive? Like, you look like G.I. Jane. Okay, G.I. Jane is a strong, badass, like, superhero woman. Are you going to get upset if somebody calls you, like, Catwoman or Wonder Woman? No, you'd be like, all right, like, fine, I'm G.I. Jane. Cool, I'll gladly be G.I. Jane. You cannot slap someone for calling you G.I. Jane. Give me a fucking break. Can you slap someone for, or can you slap your alleged best friend for fucking your boyfriend of 9 years? Yes. Like, let's not lump all events or traumas or jokes or statements or comments into the same fucking box. Like, it's a very wide, expansive gray area over here. To call someone G.I. Jane, I would say, is pretty low on the spectrum of offensiveness or rudeness or slap worthiness. To slap your best friend who fucked your boyfriend, oh my, if this was me, if my closest friend fucked my husband, I would be in jail, okay? I would probably be in jail. I'd be podcasting behind bars, okay? I would not slap someone for calling me G.I. Jane. Sorry. Also, Chris Rock's comedy special was filmed in Baltimore, which I thought was a little bit weird. They always say, like, live from Baltimore, it's Chris Rock. And as soon as I heard Baltimore, I was like, random? Like, you know, no offense to Baltimore, don't slap me, but most comedy specials are filmed in like Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Brooklyn, right? So I was like, Baltimore. And my husband was like, yeah, there is speculation online that because Baltimore is Jada Pinkett Smith's hometown, Chris Rock allegedly purposely chose Baltimore as a subtle dig to Jada Pinkett Smith. Is that true? I don't fucking know. But we love to speculate over here. If you think words hurt, you never been punched in the face. That was a great one-liner. And I think he handled the whole Will Smith slap brilliantly. You know, he didn't lash out on social media. He didn't play the victim. He had a whole joke about how there are too many victims in the world. And when everybody is a victim, then like nobody is a victim. And you can't cry victim the same way you cry wolf, because eventually like nobody's going to believe you. We have to be very careful about who we label a victim, because don't get me wrong. And he said the same thing. There are real fucking victims in this world. And then there are people who get offended about a G.I. Jane joke. You know what I mean? Like, the spectrum is so wide and we have to really leave space for the victims to be victims and the people who are just like fragile, delicate butterflies to move to the side. And the last part of today's episode is about You, Season 4, Part 1, which I am actually not done with. I don't know who the killer is, like who killed Malcolm or who is trying to frame Joe. I have not started Part 2 of Season 4, which I believe aired in early March. So these are just my opinions so far. I am not impressed with Season 4, Part 1. Like, It's too outlandish. It's too far-fetched. It's too much. Like, if you remember season one, like, season one hooked me because it felt real. It felt like any girl in any city could meet any guy and he would just be this mysterious, secretive weirdo, you know? Like, Joe started as an employee at a really cute independent bookstore, just a guy living in Brooklyn with no killing history or murderer. Like, he was just the average guy who had a not so average obsession with women, and he would stalk them and follow them, and eventually he started killing them, you know? I miss Joe being like a regular guy, because when you're a creepy regular guy, it's scarier than if you're a creepy, like, serial killer. Because once you're, like, a serial killer, the realness is sucked out of it. You know what I mean? Now it's almost like you has combined with Gossip Girl, where Penn Badgley got his, you know, famous start. There is no fucking way that this group of millionaire British society celebrities would adopt Joe into their social circle. Like, they would never invite him to the Soho House or whatever it's called. They would never allow him to go on that trip with them to the mansion out of town. Of course they're going to suspect he's the murderer. Like, he is the outsider. And it's just become too, like, fancy schmancy, like, too many twists. Now Joe is also a dad and, like, just dropped his son off at the doorstep and ran away to England. But didn't he first run away to France to try and find Marianne from season three? And I was like, ooh, okay, season four is going to be him stalking Marianne. And that actress, what's her name? She was also on, Bewitched? No. Whatever, you know what I mean. So Marianne, you, season three. Portrayed by Tati Gabrielle. Is that really her name? Because sometimes... Yeah, okay. So Tati Gabrielle was on season three and she was his love interest then. Why is she not on season four? Like, is something weird happening behind the scenes? Like, was she like a bitch to the director? Was the director an asshole to her? Was she problematic? Was there tension? Like, why wouldn't Marianne or Tati Gabrielle star in season three and then only make some weird, awkward appearance in a flashback on season four? Like, to appear in a flashback, it's like, okay, so Joe went to France. He found her at some, like, art fair. She sees him down the block, runs away because Joe's ex-wife, Love, before she died, told Marianne to run because Love knew that Joe was a fucking creep and a killer. So Marianne has this knowledge. She sees Joe. She's panicked that he found her. And she runs away. And then he, like, corners her in a building and is fucking weird to her. And she's like, you're a killer, you're a killer. And he's like, no, I'm going to prove to you that I can be a decent human being and I'm going to let you go. Like, I'm going to step away from the door, run if you want, and I promise I'm not going to follow you. Like, this is me proving that I can be a decent human being and I will not ruin your life or kill you or attack you. And she, you know, bolts out the door and we never see her again. At least we don't see her in part one. Will she make a return in part two? That is for me to be seen. I haven't started it yet. But I thought that was so fucking weird that we thought Joe would be in Paris stalking Marianne. And then, surprise, I'm in England helping this woman who's being mugged. And now I'm sucked into this British socialite millionaires club hanging out at the Soho House being framed for murder. And I will admit that it is a little bit cutesy, tongue-in-cheek, that Joe is admitting to himself, like, I'm in a whodunit, I'm in a Knives Out, I'm in a Clue type plot, you know, plot story of who killed the murderer. And Joe was like, man, whodunits are the least intelligent form of mystery literature. It's been there, it's done that, it's tired, you can't do it originally anymore. So it's like meta, it's like breaking the fourth wall where Joe is like, yep, here's me stuck in a whodunit murder mystery. How cliche. And it's like, yeah, but just because you call it cliche doesn't mean it's not cliche. Like, it still is kind of, what's the right word? Like, eh, like you really went to a whodunit? Like, eh, like, ugh, like, ugh. It's just, and also, you know what? I heard about this on an episode of The Toast with Claudia Oshry, a girl with no job. I listened to The Toast, love it. And they were talking about how Penn Badgley gave an interview where he explained why season four is kind of weird when it comes to the sex scenes. Like, if you notice, maybe you haven't noticed because you haven't heard this interview, but Penn Badgley said that he put his foot down for season four and will not film kissing scenes anymore because he doesn't want to create any sort of hostile or jealous environment between his wife. He is married to, oh my God. Her name is Domino, right? I suck at names. I'm really bad with names. I'm so bad with names. He is married to Domino Kirk, who is the sister to Jemima Kirk, who plays, what's her fucking face on Girls? Jessa. And that is the connection. Because I love fucking Girls. I love Lena Dunham. And Jemima Kirk is Jessa, and she is her sister. So he's married to Domino Kirk, and they have a child together, and he was saying, like, I don't want to be kissing my co-stars anymore or filming really intimate sex scenes because I don't want to make my wife jealous, or I don't want to just invite temptation or have my foot in the door. Like, you know what? It's so easy for co-stars to fall in love or hook up or, you know, have that little connection. And he was saying, like, I don't want to do it anymore because I just don't want to play with the devil. I don't want to tempt jealousy or tempt infidelity. So fine. But after I read or listened to that interview, I can't watch season four without that knowledge in the background, because every time Joe has an intimate moment with Kate and they start like looking into each other's eyes and they start playing with each other's hands or touching each other's clothes, and it's like obvious they're going to start banging or kissing or hooking up, the camera always cuts away, or they're undressing each other, but there's no kissing. And it's so awkward to me when I know that it wasn't a directorial choice. It was Penn Badgley saying, I'm not going to kiss Kate, my co-star. So any scenes you want us to do that involve heavy petting or sex or undressing each other, it has to be without kissing. And that just makes it feel so robotic and fake and lackluster, like lacking passion. Because if we want true passion between Joe and Kate, there has to be kissing. Like, who is fucking without kissing? Like, it would be like if me and my husband loved each other and wanted to fuck each other, but we weren't. It's just like so weird to like undress somebody without kissing their neck or like running your fingers through their hair. Like, we've all had sex. There's like always, like 90% of the time when you fuck somebody, there is kissing involved. So just now that you have this knowledge that Penn Badgley was like, nope, I'm not gonna do it. Like, sorry, like, you gotta cut all kissing out of these scenes. Go back and watch every intimate scene between Kate and Joe, because you will notice that the camera either pans away or cuts, or it's shot from a different angle where you can't see their mouths. They lay down and fuck in the grass, and you only get like a far away perspective of Joe like mounting her. But again, you don't see anything. You don't see any passion, kissing, lust, ferociousness. Rah, I want to like rip your clothes off. There is none of that. And because that is lacking, I'm sitting here as a viewer being like, wow, so fake. Such an obvious, like, line in the sand. And I understand that actors are humans and they have real lives and real marriages and real relationships, and they also can experience jealousy the way we do. I wouldn't love my husband kissing another woman, duh. But again, it's like, doesn't it kind of come with the territory? It's like when a Kardashian says, I have no privacy. There's always, it's like, bitch, of course you have no privacy, because this is the life you signed up for. It comes with the territory. You know what I mean? Like, of course there's paparazzi. Of course you're being, you know, followed. Of course you can't go out on your own anymore. Like, of course. So as Penn Badgley is an actor, a paid actor professional, like, wouldn't you be like, bro, you gotta kiss twice. Give me two scenes where you kiss Kate, okay? Two scenes, that's it. you know, and we'll film it back to back. That way it's done in a single shoot, in a single day. You don't have to do it again ever the whole season. But it's just fucking weird. And it takes the realness, the authenticity, the fire, the passion. That is missing for me this season because of Penn Badgley refusing to kiss his co-stars. So that's all I have for you today. Have a great day, everybody. I may hear from you or I may talk to you again later this week. Maybe not. It's depression, okay? Either way, have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.